Last week, we discussed about different categories. We gave an introduction to these halachas of business on Shabbos, which we're starting off with, is the halachas of having non-Jews work for you on Shabbos, and which is actually relevant both in the workplace and at home. It's both relevant for someone that has a nursing home and he has people working for him, or he has some sort of factory, or he has some sort of business. And it's also negeya in the house. You know, you have a cleaning lady, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to break down the halachas into the categories. And again, we mentioned that there's another area of halacha that we negeya schar Shabbos, making money on Shabbos. We're not going to get to that yet. That's going to be a little later. So there's four categories, or let's keep it at, for now, to make it simple, let's keep it as, it's really a shoot off of two categories. There's two categories that we're going to discuss of people, types of relationships that people have with you, with their employer. Okay? There's something called a schir yoim. A schir yoim is he who's hired, a guy who's hired by the hour. He's hired by the hour. A typical example of that would be a cleaning lady in the house, or an hourly worker. You know, you don't have him contracted out, but he's an hourly worker. You know, whatever has to get done, you probably call him in. A handyman, you know, come in per hour. That's one scenario. The other scenario is what's called a kabbalin, which we spoke out last week, which is someone who a kabbal. He accepts upon himself the whole job. All right. So a guy who accepts upon himself the job, that's what we're going to call a kabbalin, and generally he's paid by the job and not by the hour. All right. But the point of it is that he's not working in, you know, whatever you tell him to do. He's actually responsible for the whole job, the completion of the job. So for example, even if you end up paying him by the hour, I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a mechanic. A mechanic, his relationship with you is, he's a kabbalin, he's accepted upon himself to fix the car. But sometimes you pay him by the hour. Now, the way he calculates his fee to you is however long it takes him to do it, but that doesn't make him into a schir yoim, because his responsibility is to finish the job, alright? So there's the guy whose responsibility it is to finish the job, and then there's the guy who's just working for you, a schir yoim. Okay, clear, two categories, kabbalin, schir yoim. Okay, the halacha is as follows. A schir yoim, someone who's a schir yoim, can never work for you on Shabbos. Can never do malacha for you on Shabbos. If you're paying a guy only by the hour, you can never have him do malacha for you on Shabbos, period. Why? The reason is simple. The reason is because that's called that he's your shaliach. In that scenario, he would be like he's your shaliach. He's working for you. It's like he's working for you. Okay? So you have a cleaning lady, and you tell the cleaning lady, come in on Shabbos. You tell the cleaning lady, come in and do the laundry on Shabbos. Even if you didn't tell her to do it on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. Let's say you told her, come, whatever, come. It doesn't make a difference when you come. And she comes on Shabbos, she can't do the laundry for you. You can't have a non-Jew do malacha for you on Shabbos if the relationship is that of a schir yoim. They were never makabel upon themselves a specific job. They are just working and doing whatever you've told them to do. If you tell them to do malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tif, that's a problem. All right? So that would be a schir yoim. That would be a typical... Okay, the most, like I said, the classical example of that is the cleaning lady or something like that, or a janitorial service or something, yeah?
Even if you have a cleaning lady as a kabbalin, that's the laundry.
We're going to get to kabbalin. A cleaning lady is a kabbalin, okay? So that, under no circumstances, is a schir yoim. There's basically no case that a schir yoim is mutter, more or less, okay? You can't have a schir yoim working for you on Shabbos. Where it starts getting complicated is a kabbalin. A kabbalin, again, is a person who, at the relationship, he's not an hourly worker, he's more like a salaried worker, or he's working for you by the job. So the question is, at that point, can you have someone who's a kabbalin work for you on Shabbos? Okay? So the halacha is that you could, theoretically. Now, al pi halacha, in specific cases, generally speaking, a kabbalin would be allowed to work for you on Shabbos. Okay, so for example, let's take the car mechanic. The car mechanic's taken upon himself the achrayus, the responsibility to finish your car. So you're not paying him necessarily, you know, he's taking that achrayus for you. At that point, he's working for himself. So you give him the car, as long as, even if he works on Shabbos, that's all right, it's not a problem, because he's working for himself. He's not working for you, really. You're just paying him to do the job that he said he's going to do. Okay? But that being said, there's a lot of limitations on the heter of a kavod, and that's where it starts getting very interesting. But so, for example, let's say a person has, this is oversimplification, and anyone that this is nageh to should ask a shayla, but let's say a person has a, where it comes up is, let's say you have, like I mentioned before, a nursing home or something like that, or you have people, you have a big something going on, a business, and you have the people are working there. So one could argue that there's a distinction between, let's say, you have some people that are contracted workers, that you have a secretary. Secretary is usually paid by the hour. Whatever she works, she works. So that could be a problem. She can't make those phone calls or do whatever job she has to do for you on Shabbos. But the contracted workers, the salaried workers that are there for the year, those people could work for you on Shabbos. So let's say the nurses or whatever it is, this is their job. It doesn't necessarily go by the hour. That could be his mother. So
you say contracted workers, they are hourly.
Are they? Okay, yeah, so it depends.
They have 12-hour shifts, and they usually get 3 shifts a week. And rotating shifts. Shabbos, Monday, Tuesday. So it's,
yeah, but they can come in whenever they want. In other words, you're calculating their salary. Let's say they don't come in one time. Does it make a difference? You can make it.
You're hiring just for Shabbos.
Oh, you're not hiring just for Shabbos. You're not hiring just for Shabbos. No, let's say his case. Every nurse has to come in 3 days a week.
It's always 12-hour shifts.
Okay. So then they don't have to be there.
Right. And you're not telling them what to do. They're just coming in. They have to fulfill their quota. That could be is okay. No.
Yeah, even if it's for an obvious shop,
what?
Past counselors.
So how do they work on Shabbos? Because it could be they're not doing malacha. They're just watching the kids. The whole issue here is not getting, it's only hiring someone to do actual malacha for you.
Is it the distinction of, let's say, like, go to the cleaners, they don't have to do it on Shabbos?
Right, so that's the point, right.
But here, let's say you're hiring somebody to do something on Shabbos.
Oh, so this is the, okay, so exactly. So, so now, so let's talk about that, okay? What Chaim's bringing up is that there are cases, there are 4 klolim, 4 rules that limit, or 4 limitations on the heter of a kavod. This thing that a kavod can work for you, there's 4 cases, 4 limitations. One is, you can't tell him to come on Shabbos, even if he is a kavod. Okay? So even if he's accepted, let's say a gardener, you know, he tells you, you know, listen, I'm going to fix your lawn, or a guy's doing construction. Construction's a little more complicated, but let's just take it for example for a minute. Construction, so he's a cobbler, he's contracted out, and he's going to work on your plumbing, right? So you can't tell him to come on Shabbos, even if he's a contractor, but the first limitation is you can never tell the guy to come on Shabbos, number one. Number two, which is why a gardener or a plumber may not be a good example, is that anything which is done in or on your property is also usur, because that's marasayin. Okay? That's also because it looks like you told him to come on Shabbos. Or it, one of two things. It could A, look like you told him to come on Shabbos, or B, it could look like he's really a schir yoyim. People don't know how you're paying him. Okay? So, point is that would be usur. Also, so if you have, let's say, a gardener, even if he's a kabbalin, and he comes to your front lawn on Shabbos, you know, you pay him to take care of the lawn. You pay him $500 for the year, okay, and he comes, takes care of the lawn or whatever it is, okay. So even if he comes on Shabbos, what?
Not a bad price.
Not a bad price. Okay.
Even if he comes on Shabbos.
So even if he comes on his own on Shabbos, and he's really a kabbalin, right? He's not a schir yoyim. It's his job. It's his prerogative. You didn't tell him to come on Shabbos, but since it's being done on your property, you have to tell him to stop. You have to. You can't have him come to your property on Shabbos. Okay? Now, what were you asking? Because you were bringing up a good point. You're saying, everyone knows.
With the nurse. You were saying
no, with the nurse, but with this thing, you were saying something.
What?
You say, what does it mean? How could you say it looks like a Shechir Yoyim if everyone knows that that usually it's done as a Kaplan?
The guy pulls up on his lawn schedule.
Everybody knows in this neighborhood, if he pulls up, you know the guy's not paying him to work on Shabbos. You know the guy's coming every week, every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you got the pool guy coming. You know,
the pool guy also.
I'm still going to tell him, listen, come on Shabbos, party on you.
Right.
You don't want to do that. But it's
no, but that's what it looks like. The Marasayan is.
Why
is that
the Marasayan? Everyone knows.
No. There's two types of.
Come plumber, I know you called on Shabbos to get your plumbing fixed. But if I see a gardener coming to your house and doing your lawn, I know you didn't specifically tell that gardener come.
So Ramosha, so listen, so
they come every week, every
so it's very interesting. So Ramosha deals with
this.
Okay, Ramosha deals with it. And I want to just give some background. There's two problems. Right. First of all, it could look like you told him to come on Shabbos. There's two potential problems. Every time you have a Kablan come, there's two potential problems. One is that it looks like a Shechir Yoyim. People don't know the difference between a Shechir Yoyim and a Kablan. Who said that you hired him to take care of your lawn? Maybe what you did really was, you know, you found some guy in the street corner, come in, $10 an hour, fix my property up. So it looks like a Shechir Yoyim. That's number one. Now, that you could argue here, it doesn't look like a Shechir Yoyim. Everybody knows that the way it works is that you contract the guy out. So then you don't have that problem. The second problem is that you told him to come on Shabbos. Even if everyone knows he's a Kaplan, but still, maybe you told him to come on Shabbos. Right. Like you're saying, hey, listen, I have a shalshudas, 80 ladies are going to come to my house, the lawn has to look good, come and clean it up on Shabbos, right?
So, but it's still Marasayan.
Right. Marasayan, the bottom line, but Ramosha says, Ramosha says, so Ramosha brings a point up, and he says, Lamaisa, this is what I mentioned last week, and Ramosha says it in this context, even if everyone knows that usually it's a Kaplan against a contractor, even if everyone knows that it's a Kaplan, and everyone knows that you didn't tell him to come on Shabbos, it's still a problem, because in today's day and age, the people that keep Shabbos are so few and far in between, that it's still a zilus of the Shabbos. People are going to be mezalzel, people tend to look for kulas, for leniencies, and therefore, Ramosha says that you shouldn't have these public things being done in general anyway, because people are going to take it out of control. It's going to get out of hand.
I personally think it's just not in the spirit of Shabbos. That's it, period. Forget Marasayan, forget anything else. It's just not Shabbos.
Well, yeah, you're sitting there and having your chunk, and the guy's
exactly.
Like cutting your lawn.
That's the reason I would say,
right.
Hey, don't cut my lawn, it's not Shabbos thick. And
right, okay, but you know, there's a difference between not being Shabbos again. The guy's going to say, well, listen, if I don't come back now, sorry, you know.
I can eat pizza on Shabbos. That's designing Shabbos.
No, this is a clear thing. This is a real Marasayan. So this is a real halacha, okay? So far the two limitations on Kablan are A, you can't tell them to work on Shabbos, B, it can't be on your property.
There's another restriction too, as if you give a guy a car, and the only time you give it to him right before Shabbos, and you want to pick it up Motzei Shabbos. So the only possible time you can do it is on Shabbos.
I really should have spoken out. That's included in the first limitation, because that's as if you told him to do it on Shabbos. That's the same point. You didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos, but you told him, well, listen, it's Friday afternoon now, and I need Motzei Shabbos. So when exactly do you expect me to do it, right? That's the equivalent of... Now, the question is, what they do deal with, or Moshe deals with, and others deal with, is, what about if the guy could work extra long hours Thursday night, extra long hours Saturday night, he could come in on Sunday, and I need it Monday morning. Now, I know that the only hours he has in the office between Thursday, or between Friday afternoon and Monday morning, are Saturday between 9 to 5. I know that. But he could come in after Shabbos, he could work the whole Sunday. Does that count? Or is that not realistic?
I would say it depends what he usually does.
How realistic does it have to be?
He works, he usually works.
Because it's not realistic. He technically could.
I would think it depends on whether he generally does. If he generally works.
With the cleaners, if you go to the cleaners, it's Friday, they close 5 minutes later. Yeah, they can call the boss, they can stop the whole operation, because you need your two shirts for Monday. That's different. Everyone can see it, so that it won't happen.
Right. So I think in the case, I think...
Yeah, but it's not...
I would say the difference is like this. In a public situation where it's really not going to happen, it's as if you're telling them to do it on Shabbos. But in a private scenario, let's say you have a private Kabbalah, you know, not a dry cleaner or something like that, a private guy, okay? A private mechanic, I don't know, he could work late if he has a big project. Okay? So such a scenario could be permitted.
How far can you stretch that? He'll work 30 hours straight. That's the only way Shai has to do it.
Even if it's Ayde Oynes, that's the Lashon of the Prima Gadim. Even Ayde Oynes, it's still not. You know, Oynes means he has to make it. Is it all possible?
In other words, if you told the guy, give you $1 million,
that's fine.
You
know, it's not going to be done. You know you're causing him to work on Shabbos.
It's possible. $1 million in his.
But at that point, he's not working for you.
That's good enough.
Why? Hold on. What are you causing him to work on Shabbos?
He's working for you.
Why is he working for you? Why doesn't he come?
No, he doesn't work Sunday.
No, I'll tell you why he's working. Why can't he work on Sunday?
Give him your car on Monday.
Why is he not working on Sunday? Because he wants to go play golf. Is better on Sunday than Saturday.
He's a religious guy, and he keeps Sunday.
Fine. So he's working on Shabbos and Sunday, not for me, for himself. As far as I'm concerned, he should have worked on Sunday. What? So he's working for himself. Okay. So the first limitation. So generally speaking, Ramosha says that it works.
Oh, even though it's not the general thing that he does.
Right. But I think that's really in the scenario of more like a private contractor. It's a public business. Like he said, he's not going to keep open for your two shirts. But you know, in a private contractor situation, that you could assume that even if he's derech is not to do that way, since you gave him enough time and he's choosing to work on Shabbos, the fact that he's choosing to work on Shabbos is he's working for himself. He's not working for you. Okay. So again, so a kavlan, the first limitation is you can't tell him to do on Shabbos or give it to him without enough time that he can only do it on Shabbos. Okay, that's a kavlan. Now another scenario of this is, and this is right before I left Lakewood, we had this scenario which I mentioned I think last week, but I think we'll be able to understand it a little better this way. This case is there was a guy who let me get to that example afterwards after we finish all three or four limitations. So the first one is Bakura is a different issue. It's an issue of Schar Shabbos, so that could be a little different. Now the other one is that Shelo Yase Beveis Yehudi, you can't do it in the house or on the property of the Jew, and that's a Maris Ayin issue. That's number two. You can't do it in the Jew's house, and that's an issue of Maris Ayin. Again, we said the Maris Ayin is that either it looks like a Schir Yoim, or people think that you told them to come and do it on Shabbos. Okay? And the third one is very interesting. The third one is that it can't be that you're specifically gaining, okay, from his working for you on Shabbos. Now let me explain what that means. If you have a case where the guy's a gardener, or the guy is fixing your car, or your shoemaker, or any of these type of things, whenever he gets the job done, you get the job done. It doesn't make a difference for you, all right? Now, but you can have a case. For example, let's say you own a movie theater. Okay? Now, you have contract a manager. You contract out a manager. His salary is $100,000 a year. He manages the place. Okay? But that's his salary. You get, anytime a guy pays a ticket, that's your profit. You get all the profit of the place.
Which place?
Of the movie theater. Okay? It means every penny that comes in goes straight to your pocket. You just hire a manager. So he's a cobbler, and he can do whatever he wants. Okay? But if he keeps this thing open on Shabbos, then you are making more money than had he closed on Shabbos. Meaning the difference between this contract and a different contractor is that when it's an issue of fixing your car, he can only fix your car once. So whenever he does it, he's done it, right? Or let's say you hire him to build your building. We'll get to that. But contracting your house. Right, this is Schar Shabbos. But let's say even that's Bahavla. Let's say it comes together with the whole month. So you don't specify. But the issue is that you're gaining from his working on Shabbos. He's not gaining because he's getting his salary, whatever his salary is. The only reason he's working on Shabbos is because he wants to make sure you get more money.
What if he gets part of the money?
Oh, I didn't say that. I'm talking about this relationship. The relationship where you have a manager, but you have a pizza shop, whatever it is.
He has a set salary.
He has a set salary, and you make every single penny that comes in on Shabbos. What?
How does it
look? Because let's say he gives you, you look at the Saturday bill, but that's Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos. Let's say it's a case of havlah for a minute, okay? So there's no schar Shabbos issue, but the issue is that the guy's working for you on Shabbos, even if he's a kavlan and it's not on your property. But it doesn't make a difference because this is a different case. This is a case where by his keeping open, by his working for you on Shabbos, you're specifically gaining from that over if you wouldn't work. Can you understand the difference between this case and another case?
I had that problem with my store years ago where they insisted because it was franchised that I had to be open on Shabbos. So the manager was paid from Sunday to Friday, and Saturday all the inventory was taken right before Friday before Shabbos. It was sold, it was given to him, all the profit went to him. I could pay him hourly, nothing, but he had to pay the rent for that day, he had to pay the electricity portion.
So you did it really, you did a real mechira, right.
But it was figured out down right. The thing, he okay. Benefited.
So that is...
Did you do better than you would have...
Saturday is the busiest day in a mall.
Making money. What kind of business was it?
It was a cafe.
Are you not making money on the rent?
Kosher?
Huh? And you're not making money on the rent. You're charging it for, like, you have to pay for Shabbos anyways.
Seven.
No, but he's Bahlah, but he's renting it for Shabbos and what's a Shabbos.
Every
Saturday, 12 a.m. to 12 noon.
It's electric.
So it could be, yeah.
It's electric, is the employees he paid too.
Now, Mr. Sackwitz is bringing up. Mr. Sackowitz is mechavin now to the Noida B'Yehuda. The Noida B'Yehuda says his Eitzah. His Eitzah is, maybe you don't have to do such a fancy thing. What you could do is you could say, in addition to your salary, you get 50% of the schar that comes in on Shabbos.
As an incentive.
As an incentive. So you
50% of the...
Not 50, it could be 20, it could be 1%. As long as, the point is by when he's coming... You're going to benefit. But since he's also benefiting now, he hasn't. Now you could say he's coming in working for himself. So again, it's a kavlan in this case. Okay,
it's worth it to be a Talmud Chacham.
So you understand. So the point is that this third limitation is when he is the only one when the Yisrael, the Jew, is the only one benefiting from the guy working on Shabbos. Okay, and that case is also if the non-Jew is also benefiting, he's getting 1% or 2% of that particular revenue, the revenue which comes in on Shabbos, then it will be mutter.
So what's the difference? The cop on like a mechanic. He's fixing your car. The only benefit from your car being fixed.
No, but he could fix that on Sunday. So you're not here. If you close the movie theater on Saturday, so he'll open on Sunday. So what? You want to make the money from him? You're making double the money because he's working on Shabbos. By the car, if he fixes it on Sunday, yeah, it's extra money that you're gaining because he's open on Shabbos. By the case of the mechanic, he's well, it, opening the store is making you money. Yeah, the profits which are coming because of his malach. When he's doing malacha, he's making money for you. In the case of the kavlan of the car, he can only fix your car once, right? So you're not gaining by his doing it on Shabbos, because if you do it on Sunday, you would gain also. You would have the same car whether he came in on Shabbos or Sunday. You don't hear that?
No, so I hear that. How does that go with
three? With what?
So now three, the third reason?
That's the third reason. The third case. The first limitation is if you tell him to come on Shabbos. The second limitation is when it's in your house. And the third limitation is when you're gaining all the profit from that work on Shabbos.
You're gaining all this car.
Right. Extra scar.
Sugaring scar. You wouldn't make otherwise.
If it's what?
If it's sugaring scar, let's say someone says, I'm contracting you. You do this job for a week. Don't start today, I'm giving it to the company.
And then you contract out a different guy?
No, so you have a worker that works for you.
Yeah, but you're telling him to come today, because if he wouldn't be coming today, you wouldn't get the job, right? That's the first problem, not the third problem.
That's the can't specify shop.
Yeah, because you are. You're telling him, listen, I'm losing the job.
It makes $500 for every job assigned to me.
The havlah is okay, but the question is, did you tell him to sign up people for Shabbos?
You don't tell him nothing. He answers the phone.
Then why is he answering?
Because he gets the call. If he doesn't get a call, he does nothing.
Yeah, but you're hiring him to pick up the phones on Shabbos?
And not on Shabbos. He just picks up the phone.
No, I'm saying that case, you're telling him to be available on Shabbos to pick up the phones.
Right.
Once you're telling him on Shabbos, that's a problem.
You can't make it a commission and it's part each week and he's picking up because...
If you tell him, listen, you know, pick up 40 calls a week.
Let's say he makes extra money for picking up on Shabbos. I don't care. You missed the call, I don't care. Go get some.
You tell him, listen, so you got to give me get 40 calls or whatever a week. So that could be, you know. Oh. Now the fourth exception, which is really part of the second one, is anything which is meleches. It's really the second thing. But basically, the point is that anytime which is any work which is contracting karka, property, anything done on a Jewish property is automatically a problem. So in other words, contracting a building, building a bias, building a house is automatically a problem, even if it's a kavlan, because again, it looks like people don't know the difference, and it looks like you're hiring the people to do it for non-Shabbos. Okay? So I guess the fourth thing is really the same as the second, which is anything which is done in your property. Okay? So let's just give a couple examples, and just to understand a little bit of.
Just to go over three again. So you're saying Jew can't make all the schar. Jew made some of the schar, and Goy made some of the schar. Then it's as if he's okay.
Why? Because then it's like he's coming for himself.
Right.
Now, for example, right? Like let's say, like you said, let's say you tell him, listen, this is your salary. In addition to your salary, you get 20% of the revach that comes on Shabbos. Right. A schar yoyim is out of the question. Yeah, exactly.
Shabbos, you have to address them. Shabbos, we just separate.
Exactly. Now, okay, so let's give some examples, okay? Some business examples, some home examples. Mr. Sackler, you mentioned to me this one once. Let's say, a typical example: a guy's building a home or a business, or he's not building his own personal home, but he's an investment property or something. And the builders, the contractors, are going to come in on Shabbos. Is that mutter or is that also? So now, is it?
They're going to come in on Shabbos.
Yeah. So now, is it a schar yoyim? No, it's a kavlan, right? Because you have no idea what's going on. You hired a contractor. You're the engineer. You're the contractor. You take care of the whole building. So is it a schar yoyim? No, but it's still a kavlan. So we have to figure out. Did you tell him to come on Shabbos? No. So you don't have that problem. Okay. But are you making money from him coming on Shabbos? No, because you don't care when he finishes. Whatever, he'll finish eventually. It's not going to break it or break it, because then if he comes on Shabbos, he won't come on Sunday. So he's not working that extra day. So you're not making that money. You don't have one or three. But the problem you have is two. You have the middle problem, which is that it's being done on your property. Okay? So that problem, when it's being done on your property, the difference between that problem and the other two problems is that problem is really a Maris Ayin issue, right? It's done on your property. It looks like you had a schar yoyim. It looks bad, right? Maris Ayin is it looks bad. So therefore, if
looks
people...
bad if people know that you own it.
Right. Oh, exactly. This is what you have to make note of. That the difference between one and three versus two, the first problem and the third problem, are problems maker adin. In other words, that's the actual halacha. If you tell the guy to come to Shabbos, it's a problem. But two, the problem of if it's done on your property, that's really a Maris Ayin issue. That's only Maris Ayin. And if it's only Maris Ayin, if no one knows that it's a Jewish property, it's permitted. You understand? So therefore, if you have a property that everyone knows is your property, in a Jewish neighborhood, everyone knows what's going on. So if you cannot have a kavlan building your house on Shabbos, it's awesome. Okay? But let's say you bought some investment property in West Palm Beach. Okay? No one knows anything about that property. It may not even be in the Jewish community. Alright?
Is it that no one knows or it's not online?
You can go online, it's true. But that being said, it's not so posh. So if you have an investment property out of the tchum, out of the community, and you hire out a kavlan, so it's very likely, okay, that could be mutter. Because the only problem is that it's being done on your property. What's the problem that if it's being done on your property, people think that a Jew is getting, but if no one knows it's a Jewish property, it's okay.
Doesn't the kavlan know?
Um,
So the carpenter who's building the
I hear. But the thing is that the Coblin himself knows that he's a Coblin. And he knows that you didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. So I guess for the Coblin himself, it's not, the problem is everyone else looking at him. So... No. I'm just saying that one is Mikra Din, it's not Fire Sign. You can't tell him to come on Shabbos. Two. Yeah, it is pretty similar. Yeah, in Chanami. But you know, the Maris Ayin issue, yeah, that's the same point. Right, it's the same point, really. Right, but since it's only Maris Ayin, it's only if it's known that it's Jewish. Okay? It's also Maris Ayin. Let's call it also Maris Ayin to make things simple. Okay, everything's Maris Ayin. Those two are Maris Ayin. Put them as one. Make it three categories. Just for simplicity. Okay? So now it's like this. Anytime this Jewish property thing throws a lot of things off, okay? Let's say you want a contractor. You can't have a contractor building anything on Jewish property. You can't have a contractor, even if you contract out.
Building inside.
It doesn't make a difference. And not only that, even if he's in a public, okay? Even if he's building, let's say, something to put on the property, is also a problem. So, you know, let's say, you know, so a demolition, let's say, on a Jewish property, you hire out a demolition company, that could be a problem. That is a problem. Okay? Anything that's done on your property. But let's say you want to hire out a mold guy. Since it's done in Jewish property, even if that guy's a contractor.
What if the contractor is going to have a loss? He's saying, look, I'm renting this equipment for 10 days in a row, and if I don't get it done, you know, it's going to cost me more money.
If it's a huge hefset, if there's a lot of hefset for the Jew, he's going to have to reimburse him for that. It could be that in certain circumstances that you could be making, okay? But, what? Yeah. No, certain cases. Now, the thing is, a lot of times what you have is, a demolition. Let's say you have a Coblin coming on a Jewishly owned property, and a company will come and demolish the property. That's a problem. Okay? But, let's say what you could have very often is that you could have a job being done on a house, which is, you know, it's somewhere else. So the guy's your Coblin, and he's going and doing out of the tchum. No one knows that he's working for you, and no one knows that the property belongs to a Jew. So in that case, it would be mutter. So if you have an adjustment you want to go do outside, well,
working on a mall.
Yeah. So just because if he's your Coblin, that's okay, because it's out of the tchum, it's not a problem. Okay. Now, what happens often is, I had the following case. The following case was that a guy was called, and he's a painter, but he subcontracts out. So he was a painter, and he got a job to paint the hotel. But the hotel was flipping and this, and they had to repaint the hotel. It was a great job for him. It was a big job, but they had to do it very quickly. They could do it all night and everything, but basically, under normal circumstances, he would have to have it done on Shabbos. So he was going to get a contractor, got subcontractors, to go paint for him.
Just on Shabbos?
Well, not just, but also. Okay, but it's not his hotel, right? So it's a Coblin. I didn't necessarily tell them to do it on Shabbos. Okay? And it's a Coblin. So maybe it's Mutter. The only problem was that what we told him was he could do it, but he can't put on the outside of the building a sign, this is being painted by Friedman's painters. Because then you already have the Maris Ayin issue, that the Friedman's painters are having Kablonim working for them on Shabbos. Alright? That you can't do. And often that's the case, that you wanna, you know, for advertising purposes, right, another job done by you, right? You wanna have. So what happens is that let's say you want to contract out. Let's say you have an investment property and you want to have it. You're going to have your group build it. Your group is a contractor. So you can't put out your name on there if you're afraid that they're going to work on Shabbos. At all. No. At all. On Friday afternoon. No, because that means that people already know that it's your job. It's your job. If you have a mall in Omaha, that's fine, but you can't have a mall in Omaha that says another job done by Friedman. And if it doesn't say another job done by Friedman, but But if it's sitting in the middle of the community, everyone knows it's your property, it's also a problem. Right? So that's where you could draw the line. Afterwards already probably is different. I'm not sure about afterwards. But but
another job not
done by Friedman, right? Now,
Friedman knows
another case where this is also is a factory. A guy has a factory. All right. So again, if you have contractors working on the factory, if on the outside of the factory, everyone knows this factory belongs to you, you can't have malacha being done on that factory on Shabbos, even if you have contractors, because everyone sees the deliveries coming in and out of the place, right? But that, again, sometimes you have a factory that's in the middle of nowhere, no one passes by there on Shabbos, that's okay. If it's out of the tchum, no one knows what's going on, and you have a contractor, and the guy says, listen, I have to work 10 hours a week, I'm going to come in on Shabbos, that could be okay, or whatever it is, that could be okay, as long as no one can see what's going on. Stop it.
Is Morris Ian just a...
That's a good question.
Or is it Jewish too?
Only in this case, it's Jewish.
But it's usually for Jews.
It has to be in a Jewish community. In a place where Jews go on Shabbos.
If they circumvent, you know, not everybody holds it, but they give like a couple of percentages.
If it literally belongs to him on Shabbos, if the shutzvis, he's asking, let's say you do something like he did, which is that you've sold it on Shabbos to the guy, but he's arguing maybe there's still a Maris Ayin issue, because people don't know about this thing, everyone knows that it belongs to the Jew, but I don't think that you could say that, because today it belongs to the non-Jew, so
I didn't have that problem, wasn't a Jewish neighborhood,
right?
It wasn't a neighborhood.
I don't think you could say that it's Maris Ayin in such a case, because it belongs to the guy. I mean, are you going to tell him what to do? Yeah, but Maris Ayin is not
right to get around Starbucks.
I hear.
Right. I hear.
But listen, another thing that you have to realize is also very often what happens is a guy could buy an investment property or a mall or some sort of investment, but just on contract, and then immediately after he's bought it, he's already contracting out people. No one knows that he bought it. I mean, till now it was owned by X, and now he just basically bought it, and immediately after he bought it, he rented it out to someone. So yeah, he owns it now, but it never was formally his in the sense that no one knows that it's his.
What does that apply?
So that would again apply that then you could also if you bought it on paper, but no one knows about that, then again it could be that you could have a coblin working for it. What? That would take away the problem of working on Jewish property if no one knows about it. It's not my sign because no one knows.
It
takes care of 1 in 4. Jewish land that people know that's Jewish. That's Jewish owned land that's in a Jewish neighborhood.
Jewish
run business.
Is it a Jewish neighborhood or is it a neighborhood with Jews?
A lot of these cases.
Jewish people.
For example, you know, there's large school of Mars in New York, Miami, where the Jews live, but they're not from Jews.
No, it doesn't make, I don't know if that makes a difference. It's a big shiloh if that makes a difference. They don't know, for them there's no Meyer sign because they don't really...
They can be aware of Shabbos.
They're not going to think twice about it.
But they might, they can be aware of Shabbos. So,
this is a machlokes in the poskim. Is there Meyer sign to non-frum people? The shiloh. Is there Meyer sign on non-frum Jews? Meaning, let's say you have a house...
Not non-frum, no better.
Let's say if you have a house in non-frum... No, I'm just saying, if you have a house in West Palm Beach and you want to have it constructed, you have a hired contractor, there's a lot of Jews there, but maybe wherever, there's no community necessarily. So, is that a problem? That's what he's asking. Because that's the Marasayin. Marasayin is people that keep Shabbos, it looks bad for them. But if they don't keep Shabbos anyway.
Is Marasayin a separate issue? According to your Kabbalah rules 144,
I think it's important. A guy sees a guy with Yom consensus walking with the brilliant, and he's not Jewish. He says, I maybe the thing's okay. I just saw all the doctors walk in. That's not Marasayin.
Yeah, but here.
That's not the definition of Marasayin. Marasayin
is telling them that it's okay.
It's telling them it's okay, you mean?
But you know what?
I think the Pashtus is you're right. The Pashtus is you're right. I just saw now before I came here. I saw Tshuva.
Some of them know too. They're just not from. Some of them know.
Most of them know.
You know, my wife has cousins, and they drive to shul, but they know it's wrong to drive to shul, but they drive because that's what they accepted.
Right. So I hear it.
From a Jew doing it, they're going to say, well, it's okay.
Right. What's that? He was going to ask them. Chaim, what were you going to ask?
The question is, some of the examples are given under the category of Kabbalah is we're saying you have a Jewish business, the Jewish business is open, is Marasayin.
No, well, the Jewish business, my point is the Jewish business is open, and you have a Kabbalah in the business, you know, you have the guy who's the Kabbalah is doing some of his work on Shabbos. So it's a Kabbalah, but it looks bad because it's in a Jewish...
Maybe that would be not committed to 1-4.
Meaning it's not a property.
We're talking about property.
Right. That is a difference. Yeah, very good. Right, that's a difference. Yeah, very good. Right. No, property is always a problem. Then what?
Any work that's being done here specifically is not being done on Shabbos without my knowledge. Sign up.
Yeah, I mean,
someone comes in and works here, and you know, I don't know about it.
Now, okay, you could say that.
A Jewish person owns it, but they quietly sell it for Shabbos and no one knows it.
Well, that's what someone is asking. Is there a problem with my sign? That's what someone was asking. Is that a my sign on that? I have to get back to you on that. Okay, so I have to get back to you on that. I'm going to write that down in that case. Now, okay, so let's chazer over because there's a lot of details here, and one detail could change over the whole halach. So let's just chazer over the bottom line.
It's Cedarhurst, 5 towns, Dunkin' Donuts there. It's kosher and everything, but they're open on Shabbos. So what do they do? They
wait. Dunkin' Donuts is not. But it's owned by a Jew. Okay.
What about on 41st Street?
I don't know.
It's a Jew that owns it. It's the same one.
I hear.
I think he sold it recently. It's the same one that owns the one here.
I hear. Well, say, let me just. It's getting late, so let me just wrap up. I just want to chazer over the basic kolam so that we. Oh, but before we chazer over, I'm just going to give another example. So let's say you have a cleaning lady come to your house. If the cleaning lady is this, let's just break it down and plug in what we learned, and then we'll chazer over. Okay. So you could have two relationships. You could have two types of cleaning ladies. You could have a lady. She comes in, $10 an hour, keep on working until the whole place is clean. So that's a scary yoin. You cannot have her come on Shabbos to your house and do malacha. She could come and help you do whatever you could do. If you want to tidy up the house, make the beds, clean up the toys, whatever you could do on Shabbos, she could do on Shabbos. Because that's not malacha. But she's going to start doing malacha for you, that's a problem. But that's partial. What you could have, theoretically, is you could have a cleaning lady who's like more like a Kabbalah. They tell her, listen, $60 for the house. $60, come and clean the house. You want to do it in an hour? Fine. 2 hours, $60 for the house. And also, I don't really care when you come. Whichever day of the week you come, come.
So you're allowed to pay her if she doesn't.
There's no such thing?
You're allowed to pay her if she doesn't.
She says, what time should I come? Oh, I don't care when you come.
Okay, so if you've told them to come on Yom Tov, there's nothing to talk about. But even if you told, even if you, oh, again, same thing. I'm talking about malacha. But even if you tell them, yeah, no. She didn't do malacha. She can't do malacha. But some people want a taina. Let's say you have a cleaning lady come, and then she says, listen, I come Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it is. But I $60 for the house, it's a cobbler. But she still can't do malacha for you, even if you didn't tell her to come on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because it's on your property. She's doing malacha in your property. She's doing your laundry for you. That's a problem. So she can't do it. Okay, right. But what you could tell her to do is, you could tell her to wash the dishes. If she chooses to use the hot water, or she chooses to, you know,
use the dishwasher.
No, that's already a problem, because that becomes a public thing. It makes noise. It's clearly a different type of malacha.
You have to stop her from doing the laundry if that's what she's doing.
Yeah. So that's regardless.
Stop her after she finishes.
Yeah, stop her after she finishes. Right. So we had a very lumdish cleaning. I was in someone's house for Yom Tov one time, and everyone they had a live-in, and everyone still live-in is that relationship. It's a koblin, really. So maybe she could do laundry. She has to do laundry at some point. So could she do laundry for you on Yom Tov?
Even if she could, that would not be useful.
What?
How do you justify the other problem?
Oh, you can't in the comments. It's a problem. So what happened was that everyone had gone to shul for, like, you know, 9 o'clock minyan. I went to shul at the 7 o'clock minyan. So I was coming back to learn. I had the whole morning to myself. They were gone from 9 to 12. I came back, and I was learning in the sukkah outside. And I come back inside, because it was yichud, so I couldn't be inside with the... So I come inside, and the lady's doing laundry. Everyone's in shul. And the cleaning lady's doing laundry inside. Why are we doing laundry? She said, it's not Shabbos today. I said, what do you mean it's not Shabbos today? She's like, well, I saw that they were cooking. I saw they were cooking today. So it was Yom Tov. So she was Mary Hetter on the, you know. But Lamaisa, so let's just chazer over the point. The points are, is that there's two types of relationships you could have with an employee. A Shechir Yoim or a Koblin. A Shechir Yoim is always Oser. A Koblin theoretically is Mutter, but there's a lot of limitations on a Koblin. The main three categories of limitation on a Koblin are you can't tell him to come on Shabbos, or by implication, give him work that can only be done on Shabbos, right? He has no time to do it but Shabbos. Two, you can't have him do it. You can't be the only one gaining from his work on Shabbos. It means in like the case with this specific revenue, which is only generated by his working on Shabbos, like the case of the movie theater, like he's open and he's getting more money. And three is that it can't be done on your property. It can't be done in your home or in your property, because it looks like either A, you told him to come on Shabbos, or B, that he's like a Shechir Yoim. So it doesn't look good. And then a subcategory of that is in general, any avodas karka, any time that the work is being done on a Jewishly owned property, that's a problem. But since the last problem was only Maaris Ayin, therefore, if it's out of the tchum, or it's in a place where no one knows that it belongs to a Jew, that scenario would be butter. But you still can't tell.
If you're in a house,
now where you live. No. If you live there, it's still a problem. Why? Because even if you know that he's not a koblin, that he's a koblin, and you didn't tell him to come to Shabbos, but your kids don't know, or your visitors don't know. So it doesn't make a difference. Your house is still a problem. No, if it's yourself, mamish, you don't have anyone living with you, maybe that's different. But if you're living in Alaska with your family, then it's still awesome, because you have your family members there. Right. So it has to be in a house that you don't live in, that's out of the tchum, not in a Jewish neighborhood, and no one knows that it's owned by a Jew. Then again, if you have a koblin that you didn't tell him to work on Shabbos and you're not gaining, then it'll be mutter. All right, that's basically these categories. So I would want to have her not do any malacha for you.
Okay, what about, does it make a difference?
I don't think it really makes a difference, because the point is you can't really have them do anything. They're not doing malacha for you. What?
You can tell them come at 12 o'clock on Shabbos morning.
Right. You just have to find out if she can get there. I don't know about getting there. Pashtus, if you tell her come at 12 o'clock on Shabbos and she's not going to do malacha for you, she's just going to clean up the house, that's mutter.
Why would there be a problem for her getting there when she wants to?
Yeah, but right, but it's kind of like you're asking her, yeah, okay, pashtus, that's mutter.
Right. What's the difference between paying you hourly in that situation?
No, there isn't any chanami. So, but like, let's say what you have is an interesting case. Let's say you want to have a contractor go and check out a job for you. So the house is a non-Jewish house. Let's say you have a job, you know, a mold job in someone's non-Jewish house. So no one knows that guy that's going is working for you. And no one knows, and the house is not Jewish, so maybe that's mutter, as long as it's a koblin and you didn't tell him to work on Shabbos.
What about this
So you have to make sure you're not gaining Schar Shabbos, which we didn't talk about yet. And you have to make sure that you're not gaining specifically from what he's doing on Shabbos more than during the week. Meaning, if it wouldn't make a difference to you if you would do Shabbos or Sunday or whatever.